Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me on the Word Podcast. We're continuing through 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and yes, we're still on verses 8 and 9, because we've been looking in Acts 19. Remember what verses 8 and 9 said? Paul said this, "I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." That effective work, again, means empowerment. The power of the Holy Spirit was being poured out. And he said, this wide door of power is being released. You know what? There's a lot of adversaries, so I need to stay here longer. Most of us will go, there's many adversaries. I need to get out of here. And we've gone back to Acts chapter 19, and we have seen what's going on. So if you're just joining us right now, back up, four, five, six episodes. And catch it from the beginning of Acts chapter 19, because this is amazing what's going on. In the last episode, we ended with verse 20, and it said this, "So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing." And again, I cannot emphasize it enough. I believe this is showing us how we are to live, folks, what it actually looks like to have an effective work, an empowered work. And when you look at what's happening here and what's going on here, and particularly what we're about to look at in this episode and probably another one or two, when we see this, it just makes us look as a body of Christ anemic. It makes us look actually what we are, folks, for the most part, powerless. So the word of the Lord was growing mightily and it was prevailing. The word's going out. People are proclaiming it, not just Paul. Everybody's proclaiming what the Lord's doing. It's been said several times that all the Gentiles and all the Jews were talking about this. Watch this now, verse 21. "Now, after these things were finished," okay, after all this happened, "Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, 'After I've been there, I must also see Rome.'" So this is hand in glove of what he's telling them in 1 Corinthians 16. He's telling them, "Hey, I'm here, and you know what? I've got this great work that's happening here in Ephesus. But you know what? I'm going to be going, I believe, to Jerusalem, but I'm not sure." Remember how he was telling them what to do with the collection? He says, "When I pass through, what we'll do is I'll send some letters, and we'll send the people that you choose to Jerusalem, and they can go, or if I go down there, they can go with me. We can travel together." We see here in Acts that his plan was to go pass through these areas, go to Jerusalem. And after he was in Jerusalem, he said, "I must see Rome." Now, he wasn't saying, "I must see Rome" from a sightseeing perspective. Okay, he knew that God was sending him to Rome. He did not know how he was going to get there. Okay, he did know that it was not going to be a cruise, because by the time he got to Jerusalem, it had been prophesied over him by several people that he was going to be in bondages. He was going to be in chains. Things were going to happen to him in Jerusalem. And yet he went. Now, verse 22 of Acts 19, we continue. "And having sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered with him, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while." So he sends Timothy and Erastus across the water there over to Macedonia, and he stays there in Ephesus for a while. Remember how he had, we saw that he'd stay there 2 years, all this stuff was happening, wound up being close to 2.5. Verse 23, "About that time," well, about what time? Well, about the time that he sent Timothy and Erastus away, "about that time there occurred no small disturbance concerning the way." Remember what he said over in 1 Corinthians 16. There's a wide door of effective, empowered things happening here, but there are many adversaries. Guess what? Here's another example of it. No small disturbance. That means a huge disturbance, okay? So about that time, there arose this gigantic disturbance concerning the way, and the way is what faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ was called. Well, what was that disturbance? Well, wouldn't you know it? We've got an account of it. The next verse, verse 24. "For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no small business to the craftsmen." So let's stop there in the middle of the sentence at the end of that verse. What's going on? You got this guy named Demetrius. What is he? He's a silversmith. Well, that's cool. Okay. He made silver shrines of Artemis. And Artemis is the goddess Artemis, or Diana is the same one. One's a Greek name, one's a Roman name. Okay. I think Artemis is the Greek. Yeah. And these shrines, these are idols. Okay. And it literally means, that word shrine means temple. Okay. A place to dwell. So he made little silver shrines, or large ones, whatever, of Artemis, and make these things to where Artemis could dwell within these things. And he was bringing no small business to the craftsmen. In other words, they were making a lot of money off this. He actually says this. Verse 25 continues the sentence. These he gathered together with the workmen of similar type trades and said, "Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business." Okay, he just cut to the chase. So Demetrius the silversmith got the craftsmen that were benefiting from what he was making, and then he got the workmen, all of them that were involved in all this kind of stuff, and he says, "You know what, guys? The money we make comes from these idols and these shrines that we're making right here. Whether I'm making the shrine or you're providing the silver or somebody is selling it, whatever it may be, there's a lot of folks involved with this. Our prosperity depends upon this." Verse 26, "You see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but also all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away a considerable number of people, saying that gods made with hands are no gods at all." Now, I want you to think about this, and we're going to talk about it just for a moment right now. And my time's running short, then we'll pick it up. Think about what's happening here. When Paul came in with the gospel message, people were being changed and transformed. The changing and the transforming of the people was impacting the culture and the society. What does he say here? Paul has persuaded them and turned away a considerable number of people. He was turning them away from false religion so that they were realizing, wait a minute, these gods made by hands are not gods at all. It was turning their culture upside down. It was impacting the region economically. And as we will see, Paul addressed issues forthright. He's saying that's a false god. You're being lied to. Folks, we need to do the same thing today. Sometimes it's not comfortable to do this, okay? You know, and sometimes you don't have to say it, sometimes you do it. There's been some of us that have gone through this the last 2 years when we refuse to wear a mask. For instance, that was a thing with me. Refuse to wear a mask because I know the science of it. I know that it's an abject lie and it's foolishness to wear the mask for the purpose that it was being proclaimed for. I knew it was a lie. Well, guess what's been revealed? It's a lie. Yeah, but you know what? People were upset. People were angry, and they asked all sorts of questions. I would just tell them the truth about something. Sometimes to stand for the truth will turn things upside down for the good. That's what we're going to see right here. But guess what was happening? Adversaries were rising up because they were losing money. We're going to see even more what happens in the midst of this. But folks, you know what? You want to walk through that wide open door of empowered, effective work, you better realize there's going to be adversaries, and that effective work is going to look like this. It's going to change people individually. It's going to turn communities upside down. Remember, that's how they were described in Acts. These men who have turned the world upside down are here. It is an exciting thing. Well, again, I'm Dale. We'll talk more in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.